Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up. A new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na 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 na. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me.
Wake up, everybody. Welcome to MPH Radio. That's right, we need a little help. We'd like to welcome you to this particular program, Saturday, August the 8th, as we feature the theme for today, which is music or emancipation and liberation with information. That's our theme for today, and we will be giving you an opportunity to give our people some information that will inspire them towards emancipating or liberating themselves, their people, and humanity from the various forms of oppression. Mr. Paisley History is a program geared towards speaking on the behalf of the oppressed communities. And this station is for you. So we would like to invite you to call in at 818-337-0016 today if you have information that will inspire your people to do better. Along with the information, we will seek to encourage and play music or encouragement of liberation, music of emancipation. So that's the theme for our program. But like always, what we want to do right now, we start with our first segment. We deal with giving the people something to think about. We're going to give the people something to think about as we talk about or conceptualize and try to implement some kind of process that will free our people and free all humanity from the various forms of oppression. So let's just give you a little bit of something to think about when you talk about this concept of freedom. Here's some concepts of freedom comes from various individuals based upon their experiences and background. I think you need to be aware of that as people begin to define their world. That we are totally influenced by their interests, their background, their experiences. But this is just getting something to think about, and how does their concept of freedom match up to yours, and if it may be something that you can use to make your life better. The first one comes from Henry David Thoreau, giving you something to think about. He stated, disobedience is the true foundation of liberty. The obedient must be slaves. That's interesting. Disobedience is the true foundation of liberty. The obedient must be slaves. I can often sometimes see how they're playing out in everyday world, but that's his concept. What y'all think about that? You'll be given the opportunity to speak to this particular concept and other issues later on during the program. The second concept of freedom, we'd like to give you something to think about. It comes from Frederick Douglass. Frederick Douglass stated, if there is not struggle, there is no progress. Or some would say, without struggle, there's no progress. But this is something he stated. Then how can we maybe apply that concept of freedom with our day's reality? You know, if we want to be free, it comes with a struggle, according to Brother Frederick Douglass. The next thought is, friend is from Toni Morrison. That's right, Toni Morrison, the writer. She stated, friend yourself was one thing. Claim ownership of that free self was another. Yes, that's her concept of freedom. Freeing yourself was one thing. Claim ownership of that free self was another. What you make of her concept of freedom. And next we will go to Malcolm X. That's right. We said Malcolm X. He stated, after you get your freedom, your enemy will respect you. Let me repeat that. After you get your freedom, your enemy will respect you. Is that our problem? We can't get to respect because we're not free? What you think about that? Again, this is MPH Radio. You have a chance to respond to these concepts of freedom and additional information that will be provided to you today. Right now, we're going to go to a station break. Our thing again today is centered around music or emancipation and liberation with information. When we come back, we're going to our MPH Black Benefact with Susie, dealing with businesses. So we're going to pause for the calls, and we'll be right back.
Turn Tennessee.
Lord, I've really been real stressed, down and out, losing ground. Although I am black and brown, problems got me pessimistic. Brothers and sisters keep messing up. Why does it have to be so damn tough? I don't know where I can go to let these ghosts out of my skull. My grandma passed, my brother's gone. I never at once felt so alone. I know you're supposed to be my steering wheel, not just my spare tire. But Lord, I ask you to be my guiding force of truth. For some strange reason it had to be. He guided me to Tennessee. Country and into more countries, baptized birth into rhythm, where the ghost of childhood haunts me. Walk the road my forefathers walk, climb the tree my forefathers hung from. Ask those trees for all their wisdom. They tell me my ears are so young. Go back to whence you came, my family tree, my family name. For some strange reason it had to be. He guided me to Tennessee.
Down to Holly Springs. Razadon and Baba, they went down to Peachtree. Headliner, I challenge you to a game of horseshoes. A game of horseshoes!
Now I see the importance of history. While my people be in the mess that they be. Many journeys to freedom made in vain. My brothers on the corner playing ghetto games. I ask you, Lord, why you enlighten me without the enlightenment of all my folks. You said, cause I set myself on a quest for truth, and you was there to quench my thirst. But I am still thirsty. Lord, allow me to drink some more. He said what I am searching for are the answers to all which are in front of me. The ultimate truth started to get blurry. For some strange reason it had to be. It was all a dream about Tennessee.
Good evening. I'd first like to start off with a quote from Madam C.J. Walker. Don't sit down and wait for the opportunities to come. Get up and make them. And this is a quote from Madam C.J. Walker, 1867 to 1919. Madam Walker summed up her life story in a speech at the National Negro Business League Convention in 1912. I am a woman who came from the cotton fields of the South. From there, I was promoted to the washtub. From there, I was promoted to the cook kitchen. And from there, I promoted myself into business of manufacturing, hair goods, and preparations. I helped build my own factory on my own ground. Madam Walker's wonderful hair grower, a scalp conditioner, was the result of Walker's experimentation with homemade and commercial remedies. She developed sales and marketing strategies for her products and sold them door to door, building her business one sale at a time. There you have a mini fact from Madam C.J. Walker. The next one I like to do is Thomas Day, who exhibited a natural ability for wood making at an early age. Sometime after 1822, Day started his own furniture shop in Milton, North Carolina, and went on to become one of the most respected furniture makers in the South, an incredible feat for an African American before the Civil War. Wealthy plantation owners and two governors requested pieces, and the University of California hired Day to provide the woodwork for one of the original buildings at Chapel Hill. His use of steam-powered tools and mass production techniques made him a pioneer in the industry, and all the many facts today are dealing with business. And the last and final one is Harry Pace, founded the first widely distributed African-American record company, Pace Phonograph Corporation, which sold its records under the Black Swan label. In the summer of 1921, Ethel Waters became the label's first major artist. Waters brought both fame and income to the small company. Although the original Black Swan label had a short run, it proved to other record companies that signing African-American artists could be profitable. Later in life, Pace founded the Northeastern Life Insurance Company and also opened a law firm in Chicago. I've just given you three black mini facts, which were Madam C.J. Walker, Thomas Day, and Harry Pace, and they are all from the African American Heritage Calendar of 2017.
Thank you, Susie, for your black benefacts. We're going to take a quick MPH break. When we come back, we're going to have a commentary from the community by Alex Joyner.
I believe the children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us how we used. Everybody's searching for heroes. People need someone to look up to. I never found anyone who fulfilled my needs. A lonely place to be. And so I learned to depend on me.
Never to walk in anyone's shadow. If I fail, if I
like to welcome you back to the MPH Radio and find your strength, not only in love, but also in the love of humanity. Ultimately, all things are possible through the organization and the collective workings of the masses of the people. This is MPH Radio. We will now go to our next transition to our community commentary. If you are listening to this program, this is a biweekly radio program under direction of Missing Pages History. It is geared towards the African community and oppressed humanity. You are welcome to participate. If you have any commentary that would be of interest in terms of moving our people forward, moving humanity forward, and making the world a lot more conscious of its surroundings, we encourage you to email us at missingpagesofhistory1@yahoo.com. So right now we're going to our segment, Community Commentary, which today we have Alex Joyner. We're going to bring him in, and he has a commentary for us. Alex, how you doing today? Welcome to MPH Radio.
Well, I'm doing as well as anyone within this COVID-19 experience of what's going on and whether people are obeying the rules or not following the rules or making their own rules. But I'm just trying to hold on, as they say, brother, and look for a better day.
Good enough. Well, Alex, what information you'd like to share with our audience today in terms of your commentary? We now turn the mic over to you.
Okay. I would like to state that we had three giants, icons, that passed away in a couple weeks. And on July the 22nd, we had Charles Evers, businessman and civil rights leader, 97 years old. We had Reverend C.T. Vivian pass away July the 18th at 95 years old. And we had John Lewis, a towering figure of the civil rights era, dead at 80. And if Mr. Lewis was alive, he would say he's still the youngest one to go to glory. But the moment of the show today is about emancipation and about the songs and freedoms of it. And I would like to start with just a little short black history fact. On March 16, 1995, the state of Mississippi ratified the 13th Amendment to the United States Constitution, 130 years after it was formally adopted in 1865, even though we celebrate Juneteenth Day. Soon after the Confederacy defeating the Civil War, the 13th Amendment was designed to abolish slavery nationwide. The text of the amendment reads, "Neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for crime, whereof the party shall have fully, duly convicted, shall exist within the United States, or any place subject to their jurisdiction." After Congress passed the amendment on January 31, 1865, three-fourths of the state, 27 to 36, need to ratify it before it become part of the Constitution. Mississippi's economy was built on slavery, and the state had the largest enslaved population in the country at the start of the Civil War. December 5, 1865, the state legislature voted against ratification, becoming one of several southern states that refused to endorse the 13th Amendment. The last ratification needed for adoption came from the state of Georgia on December 6, 1865. More than a century later, in 1994, a clerk in the Texas legislator named Gregory Watson discovered that Mississippi still had not ratified the 13th Amendment. He notified each of the African-American members of the Mississippi legislature and sent them the draft of a resolution that Mississippi could adopt in order to ratify the situation. On March 16th of the next year, the Mississippi legislature reached the largest symbolic vote to unanimously ratify the abolition of slavery in the United States, becoming the last of the eligible states to do so. After the vote, however, Mississippi state officials failed to send the necessary documentation to the Federal Register. So the ratification was not formally filed as required. Nearly 20 years later, in late 2012, two Mississippi residents discovered that the ratification was not yet official and notified the state Secretary of State. Several weeks later, the paperwork was filed. The Mississippi ratification on the 13th Amendment was legally recorded on February 7, 2013, the day that slavery officially ended in the United States of America. Now, moving on to Mr. Lewis. This is one of the things Mr. Lewis was a champion about. And I called him the man that rocked the boat. So I titled my tribute to him, He Rocked the Boat. John Robert Lewis, born February 21st, 1940, in Troy, Alabama, the boy from Troy, was an American hero, like Christopher Attucks, who gave their lives for the people of American belief that we could do a better nation than we were. From the age of 5 years old, Lewis began preaching to the chickens in his yard as Nat Turner had about the injustices his sharecropping family faced in Alabama as one of 10 siblings. When he turned 11, he went with an uncle to Buffalo, New York. That trip would make him acutely aware of the segregation he had left and returned to in the South. In 1955, he first heard Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. on the radio and later preached his first public sermon. He met Rosa Parks at 17 and Dr. King for the first time at 18 and forged a lifetime bondship in trust and faith. As a member of the Nashville student movement and many years later, Lewis often remarked one of his most famous quotes, "Our struggle is not the struggle of a day, a week, or a month, or year. It is the struggle of a lifetime. Never, ever be afraid to make some noise and get in good trouble, necessary trouble, to achieve change in America," which would become a signature motto for his life. We were determined not to let any act of violence keep us from our goal. We knew our lives could be threatened, but we had made up our mind not to turn back. Lewis stated as a member of the first 13 original Freedom Riders who was beaten, injured, and jailed for riding interstate buses, daring to step beside white riders. As chairman of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, Lewis reacted to the 1963 Civil Rights Bill saying it was too little, too late, because it did not protect an African American against police brutality or provide African Americans with the right to vote. Which side is the federal government on? Was eliminated from his speech by others who were afraid to upset the Kennedy administration at the March on Washington, December in 1963, as he was the youngest speaker that day. On Bloody Sunday, on the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama, Americans witnessed him and other peaceful protesters being beaten until his skull was fractured. John Lewis would bear these scars on his head for the rest of his life. President Lyndon Johnson addressed the nation 5 days later, and he personally introduced the 1965 Voting Rights Act, which passed in both houses of Congress, invoking the protest song, "We Shall Overcome," as an unofficial anthem of the civil rights movement. In Atlanta, it was reported that Dr. King wept. For a white Southern who was president of America to try to lead the nation to the table of righteousness was almost too much to believe in those times of unrest and racism. I happen to believe the vote is the most powerful nonviolent tool we have in democratic society, said Lewis. For the African American people have been disenfranchised, betrayed, bamboozled, tricked, and enslaved by a government that had no shame in the mistreatment of the people of color in the America since its birth. He was a fighter who was as brave as any soldier in the heat of the world's greatest battle as he fought for the colored man's right, not to be backed down as he gave no ground to racial injustice. not to be captured and broken as he endured countless beatings and jail time, as he stood up for the poor and disenfranchised, not to be intimidated by cruel, mindless members of Congress who believe and upheld the Jim Crow laws, not to be silenced by a president who had betrayed his country and was impeached because of it. He became the good conscience of the Democratic congressman who opposed the Republican Congress Party, who sided with the failures of the Trump administration in civil rights policy, immigration, police brutality, protesters' rights, and the COVID-19 pandemic. As a true champion of the people, he often was an outcast with his thundering voice and compassionate reason issues they confronted. Yet he often had to appease others in his different organizations, said, wait and don't rock the boat over issues that bring too much shame to the white establishment. This fire and brimstone, he showed, came from the likes of Frederick Douglass and a fiery preacher named John Brown. Yet sometimes we have to show spirit and fight to get things accomplished. When others see you as weak and unorganized, good trouble, necessary trouble. For trouble won't last always. You have to keep on fighting until trouble moves aside to faith and trust in the Almighty One. The battle with sin is on earth, but the reward of a good life is in heaven with God. John Lewis preached when he spoke of change and moving America forward out of the dark ages of racial segregation. He believed in the form of reparations that favored all people of color affected by the United States government. He believed in the round table justice for all, not for some. He wanted more spending for the war veterans in every area of their lives, from service date to their death. He wanted more spending for the homeless, the poor, and uneducated millions of Americans who were in low-wage earning jobs. He wanted more spending for education, the educators, and the schools and universities who taught them. He wanted more spending for health care workers, the doctors, and hospitals who treated the daily victims of disease. He wanted a better America, promised by the freedoms of the Constitution that so many men hold dear but do not believe that it applies to all. When talking about hero and mentor, this pastor, this father, this congressman, this pioneer of the civil rights movement, and many other accolades bestowed are well deserved by Brother John Robert Lewis. My favorite memory of Mr. Lewis' life was watching as President Barack Obama being sworn in twice on the Bible that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. had preached and prayed upon for many years until his death. Then the embracement of the two men as they held each other in brotherhood. From all the years of his and many other Americans who had been marching in protest, being beaten in jail, white America had finally paid a debt to the people of color. Yes, because of you, John Lewis, Barack Obama, first president of color, the 44th, two-term president of the United States of America, from the outcast of the field house of Africa to the White House of America, finally, America has seemingly moved into the light for one day. Rest in peace, my brother John Lewis, for a job well done. For we will continue your fight and continue to rock the boat. Nothing but love and praise for you, Congressman John Robert Lewis. And I thank you, Mr. Lee. That's it.
Sorry for the technical mix-up. We'd like to thank Brother Emmanuel for Brother Alex Joyner for his commentary today, and we'd like to share with our listening audience that if you have any commentary you'd like to share with our audience and the world, please email us at missingpagesofhistory1@yahoo.com. What we're going to do right now is we can go into our segment for the day, Music of emancipation and liberation with information. That's right. We're going to do something a little different. We're going to play some music that will inspire us to do better, and we can learn from, give you something to think about, while at the same time, we can open up our phone line up to those individuals who may have something to say. If you'd like to make a commentary, make something to say to our communities, we encourage you to call in and hit one. And what we're going to do between music segments, we'll come in and acknowledge your last four number. So right now, what we're going to do is go down segment of music of emancipation and liberation with information. You listen to Missing Pages of History Radio. Let's get together, y'all. Let's get together.
All right with me, 'cause you make me. stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Most people think great God will come from the sky, take away everything and make everybody feel high. But if you know what life is worth, you would look for yours unhurt. And now when you see the light, you stand up for your rights. Yeah.
Get up, stand up.
Yeah, yeah.
Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up.
Get up, stand up.
Don't give up the fight.
Life is your right.
Get up, stand up.
We can't give up the fight.
Stand up for your rights.
Lord.
Don't give up the fight.
Yeah.
We're sick and tired of your ism, kism, game, dine and go to heaven in the Jesus name, Lord. We know and we understand Almighty God is a living man. You can fool some people sometimes, but you can't fool all the people all the time. So now we see the light.
What you
gonna, we gonna stand up for
us. Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
you better
get up. Stand up for your rights.
Stand up right now.
Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Don't give it up, don't give it up.
Get up, stand up.
Get up, stand up.
Stand up for your rights.
Get up, stand up.
Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Get up, stand up.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights.
Welcome you back to MPH Radio. You're listening to the segment of Music, Emancipation, and Liberation. Right now, we're going to go to our community. With information, we can go to our community. We have some people from the communities who want to express their thoughts with some information that will empower our communities. So with that in mind, we can call out the last four number and invite caller 6029. Caller 6029, we would like to welcome you to our segment of Music or Emancipation and Liberation with information. What kind of inspiring information you would like to share with our listening audience today, caller? Caller 6029.
Yeah, well, you know, first, thanks for taking my call. You know, one of the things I'm pleased about, there was a situation in Mozambique where the Japanese government actually tried to purchase large sums of land for the sole purpose of exporting agriculture to Japan. Now, the people in Mozambique adamantly opposed this move. In fact, they were instrumental in petitioning the government to get them to not only halt that plan, but to terminate that. And as a consequence, Japan lost an opportunity to export, you know, Mozambique. So I'm proud of the people of Mozambique for actually taking a stand. And I'm particularly proud of the fact that, given the level of corruption that exists in Mozambique, that the leadership saw it wise, you know, not to take a stand and to actually support the people in terms of the struggle against the unjust economic arrangements Japan was trying to foster on the people of Mozambique. So I'm happy to hear that this is some very good news, because we need more of that, not just in Mozambique, but we need that throughout the world. Because systematically, there's no question that the exploitation that the wealthy are imposed upon the poor is immense. And so therefore, if we don't at some point fight back, then the only thing we can anticipate is more exploitation. So Mozambique serves as a shining light, a shining example in terms of, you know, the possibilities that humanity can engage in terms of bringing about some positive change. So that's my statement.
Carl, let me just ask you a question based upon what you said. In terms of your analysis of what you just reported, you know, one of the things that's been going on in Africa, and we do recognize contradiction with many of the African governments because they're neo-colonials, but one of the things what's been going on is they've been trying to draw a wedge between China and African countries. And I'm talking more about the West. And we know the West been in Africa for over 400-500 years and see what they have done. Did you see any of these like so-called business contract arrangements that may be canceled between Africa and China was caused by the West so they can come back and can continue to dominate the economies of Africa and continue to support our people? I would like to just hear your analysis on that dynamic.
Yeah, I think to a large extent the U.S. has been mediocre in terms of success rate, in terms of trying to impact African states to disinvest, you know, from China. It's been successful on some levels. There have been some African countries who are in the process in terms of the investments from China. But I think the overwhelming African states understand that, as you alluded to, given the long and draconian history of the West interactions with Africa, that clearly the West has no interest in terms of the empowerment of African states. China, on the other hand, at least gives African an opportunity in terms of different possibilities. And so, therefore, in trade with Africa, one of the great things about this is that in even situations where Africa may not have the resources in terms of being able to adequately exchange in terms of trade with China, China has been willing to at very least, take a loss in terms of pursuing that trade, because they realize in the final analysis, over the long term, it's good that they have trade with Africa. After all, Africa is the most advanced, the most resource-rich economy, most rich continent on the planet. And so, therefore, China recognizes this advantage to have that relationship with Africa. Now, the irony, as you alluded to, is that, you know, when you think about in terms of this long relationship with the West, and you think that they would say, well, listen, since we have the inside track by virtue of longevity, you know, you would think that Western states would say, listen, let's ease the exploitation of Africa and let's do those kind of things which truly leads to the empowerment of Africa. But on the contrary, Western states have continued to not decrease their exploitation of African continent, but actually increase their exploitation of African continents. And so, therefore, it creates that opening in terms of make it possible more and more African leaders understand the necessity of having trade with China. Because after all, and one of the things we have to acknowledge is that China is also the leading economic powers in the world. And so when we talk about COVID-19 and the devastating impact it has on the economy, despite COVID-19, China's been doing a good job in terms of economically being able to actually expand its economy despite the COVID-19, whereas you look at the United States, it's had a devastating impact. And to a large extent, that devastation in the U.S. has a lot to do in terms of how the economic system is organized in America. And so when we talk about historically, when we talk about the oppression of poor people, then we understand the role that the monetary policy played in terms of making sure that poor people don't have access to money. By not having access to money, it ensures over the long run that the economy will decline. And that's precisely what's happening in America. And whereas China is very conscientious in terms of, it's important in terms of, you know, the participation of poor people in the economy, because without the poor people participation in the economy, then the economy languish. And so, therefore, because of that, China is in a much more strategic position to actually facilitate trade, not just in Africa, but throughout the world. But I think African leaders do, by and large, understand the inherent contradiction. So when you talk about the West in terms of the exploitation of Africa, African leaders are very clear in terms of this historical phenomenon. So I think that despite U.S. attempts in terms of driving a wedge between Africa and China, most African leaders get it. They understand that given between a rock and a hard place, and it's best, to if you're going to gamble, the least to engage China to see precisely where they're coming from in terms of what kind of benefits that could be accrued as a result of trade with China. So I think to a large extent the U.S. has been ineffective in terms of the ability of driving the wedge between Africa and China in terms of trade.
All right, Carly, thank you for your information today. And right now, we're going to go back to our memo and contributor, Susie. There's a very interesting article that deals with the pandemic and its relationship to U.S. currency and how it impacts the lives of our various communities as something that we need to think about, and she's going to share this information with you. Susie, the mic is yours.
Hello. Okay, this comes from the U.S. Mint, which is pleading with Americans to start spending their coins, because after the coronavirus pandemic sparked a national shortage, a sign at Barnes & Noble requesting exact change on July 24th, the U.S. Mint and the Federal Reserve linked the coronavirus pandemic to a national coin shortage. During lockdowns, people stopped less and hesitated to use coins, opting for touchless paper options. That led Americans to hoard coins, sparking a shortage. The risk of catching coronavirus from money is very low. In a Thursday statement, the U.S. Mint pleaded with Americans to start spending their coins, depositing them, or exchanging them at banks. The country's coin supply has become an unexpected victim of the coronavirus pandemic, which has led businesses to ask for exact change or cashless payment. The impact of COVID-19 has resulted in a disruption of the supply channels of circulating coinage. The pennies, nickels, and dimes and quarters that the American people and businesses use in their day-to-day transactions, the U.S. Mint said in a Thursday statement. Despite the Mint's efforts to produce more coins to meet growing demand, in June, Mint workers produced 1.65 billion coins, more than a 50% increase from its monthly production in 2019. The reality is that Americans have become unintentional coin hoarders. Simply put, there's an adequate amount of coins in the economy. The slow pace of circulation has meant that sufficient quantities of coins are sometimes not readily available when needed. The Mint statement said, adding, "We ask that the American public start spending their coins, depositing them, or exchanging them for currency at financial institutions, or taking them to a coin redemption kiosk." The pandemic decreased retail opportunities as well as shoppers' willingness to touch cash and coins. In-person shopping mostly stopped during COVID-19 lockdowns, and few Americans ventured out to do laundry, take public transportation, or pocket meters, all coin-heavy activities. With establishments like retail shops, bank branches, transit authorities, and laundromats closed, the typical places where coins enter our society have slowed or even stopped in normal circulation. The U.S. Federal Reserve, which controls the Mint, they made this statement in June of 2020. The empty change drawer of the cash register at Collectibles in West Reading, Pennsylvania, on July 9th, Ben Hasty from Getty made that statement. Argumenting the problem, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommends that even essential businesses encourage customers to use touchless paper options when available and minimize handling cash, credit card, reward cards, and mobile devices where possible. Cash and coin transactions tend to require direct, close, and physical contact between shoppers and cashiers, an outcome at odds with social distancing recommendations from public health experts. Lending reluctance to exchange money means the pennies and dimes that are normally bounced from store to store or from people to banks are staying home. Virus particles can live on coins, but they're usually unlikely to make you sick. A person can get the coronavirus if they touch a surface or object that has viral particles on it and then touch their mouth, nose, or eyes. But the lifespan of the virus on objects depends on the type of surface. Rachel Graham, an epidemiologist at the University of North Carolina, previously told Business Insider that smooth, non-porous surface like doorknobs and tabletops are better at carrying viruses in general. Surfaces like money, hair, and cloth fabric don't allow the virus to survive as long because the small spaces or holes in them can trap the virus and prevent its transfer. Coins will transmit a virus better than cash, but this shouldn't be a huge concern, she said. Basic rule of thumb should be to consider money dirty money because it is. It goes through too many hands not to be. A man holds coins collected from the Trevi Foundation in Rome. One study suggested the virus could live up to 4 hours on copper. Today's pennies are made of copper and zinc, while research published in The Lancet showed it took 4 days for the virus to leave the paper money. That being said, the virus does not spread easily from contaminated surfaces, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. It is not thought to be the main way the virus spread, but we are still learning more about the virus, the agency said. Still, the CDC recommends that people routinely clean and disinfect high-touch surfaces just in case. I'm just giving you an article from the healthcare of the U.S. Mint.
Thank you, Susie. You are listening to Music of Emancipation and Liberation with Information. Right now, we're going back to a segment of music, and when we come back, we have some more interesting information that you would need to hear in order to be better informed on what's going on in your world community. You are listening to Missing Pages of History Radio, MPH.
Oh, yeah. one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? How long have you hated your white teacher? Who told you you love your black preacher? Do you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? People must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation
would make a better society. Now some of us would rather cuss and make a fuss than to bring about a little trust. But we shall overcome, I believe, someday, if you'll only listen to what I have to say.
And how long have you had your white teacher?
Who told you you love your black preacher? Can you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? I say now, people must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation
would make a better society. And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? And if you had a choice of colors.
Oh, yeah. the Beatles' new records again.
And the only safe place to live is on an Indian reservation.
And the band played on.
Eve of destruction, tax deduction,
fear factors, fear collectors,
hardcore Indian man, population out of hand.
Suicide, too many bills, hippies moving to the hills. People all over the world are shouting in the war.
And the band played on.
Those who perpetuated
disastrous, multifaceted, and multi-pronged agenda to loot the proverbial coffers of the people and government simultaneously, paving the way for a new world order style police state. The GPMB is comprised of experts from non-governmental organizations, academic institutions, national governments, and multilateral agencies, including World Health Organization and World Bank Group, respectively. The board's main purpose is within itself is to urge political action, multilateral agencies. To no surprise, the board has tried to justify about anything and everything that is COVID-19 related, including the purported pandemic itself, which seems to be nothing more than a tool that is being used to further control the populace. In a nutshell, the board works independently of all parties, including its co-conveners, to provide the most frank assessment and recommendations possible. As the agency annual report states, this separation acts as a buffer and provide a degree of legal protection to all those involved. Cleaver verbiage within the board's latest annual report title, A Work at Risk Annual Report of Global Health Preparedness Emergencies, separates the members of the board from their organizations and even separates them from the board itself. This is done by design. The findings, interpretations, conclusions, and opinions expressed in this report and by the board members represent their views only, and not those of their organizations or of the co-conveners. A World at Risk Global Preparedness Monitoring Board, GPMB, the goals of the board are to assess the world's ability to protect itself from health emergencies, identify critical gaps to preparedness across multiple perspectives, advocate preparedness activity with national and international leaders and decision makers, it goes on to state, the first annual report serves as literally 5 years roadmap to its stakeholders and identifies seven potential threats that the conspirators claim will lead must implement to prepare for pressing threats, including natural disasters. The board analyzed evidence and commissioned several review papers that explore the challenges of preparedness through various lenses, governance and coordination, country preparedness, capacities, research and development, financing, enhancing communities' engagement and trust, preparing for and managing the fallout of a high-impact respiratory pathogen pandemic, and lessons learned and persistent gaps revealed by recent outbreaks of Ebola virus disease in Africa, and the board has drawn on these papers and other data to identify areas preparedness efforts are working and where they are faltering. Do you see where this is all headed? World Bank groups would WHO sponsor white papers mentioned that COVID-19 preparedness is somehow connected to an impending natural disaster of some type, i.e. asteroid strike, space debris, the eruption of the Yellowstone supervolcano. Why the stockpile of ventilators? Why are masks available on every street corner in America and worldwide for that matter? Why are masks required even though the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, admits the growing public doesn't need to wear them for COVID-19. In fact, the masks are said right on the box that they will not protect against COVID-19. So what is really going on here? Will the masks protect against us? Moreover, dovetailing with actionable intel obtained in March by IntelliHub founder and editor-in-chief Shepard Abeles and bound space-based events, asteroids, or eruptions of the yellow supervolcano may also play into the picture and may serve as the actual and logical motive behind the military deployment and fire-cell-type behavior that has risen from the declaration of pandemic rules and lockdown worldwide. Bear with me, and we'll basically close out with these thoughts. Another section from the paper. It says that future reports will monitor progress and preparedness for other types of health emergencies, such as those caused by natural disasters. A World Risk Preparedness Monitoring Board. With all, it can't be ruled out that a natural disaster may be coming sooner than later. But the plan architects, who touch upon another highly sensitive angle, which alludes that the accidental or deliberate release of a deadly respiratory pathogen could be on its way. So, audience, we find this to be a real interesting article to give you something to think about. If you get the chance, please make sure you get a chance, check out the article for IntelliHub, August 4, 2020. Because you must have information, critical information, correct information, information that will allow us to make the proper analysis to really analyze our world and what is going on. So today, as we talk about music of emancipation and liberation, what information, we'd like to just thank you for allowing us to come into your homes today. And we'd like to remind you that all activities of Missing Pages History has been canceled until further approval or further battling the conditions of this pandemic. We don't want to put nobody in harm's way. There will be no future live TV program coming up on the 4th of September. And all activities have been postponed for right now. But if you'd like to still keep in touch and find out more about what we're doing with our radio station and how you can come help be at this organization, we encourage you to write us at Missing Pages of History, P.O. Box 27782, Richmond, Virginia, 23261. And like always, if you want to show your love, you can make your contribution to Missing Pages of History at the same P.O. Box information that just stated. We'd like to encourage everyone, again, for listening to MPH Radio. We'd like to thank all of our participants. And, of course, we'd like to thank you, the audience, who allow, again, us the opportunity to come and share the information. Remember, we come on every other Saturday at 1 p.m. And what we're going to do right now, we're just going to close out to give you some more inspiring music as relates to emancipation and liberation. So we thank you. You've been listening to MPH Radio. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
get something we never had. Let's start with a good dad. So real, but it's so sad. And while we burning this incense, we gon' pray for the innocent. Cause right now it don't make sense. Right now it don't make sense. Let's talk about Chi-Town. Let's talk about Gaza. Let's talk about Israel. Right now with Israel. Let's talk Nigeria. In the mass hysteria. Yeah, our souls are brought together so that we could love each other, brother. We save the nation with no support for education. Cause right now it don't make sense. Right now it don't make sense. Let's talk about our part. My heart touch your heart. Let's talk about living. Had enough of dying. That's what we all about. Let's do more giving. Do more forgiving. Yeah. Our souls were brought together so that we could love each other. Sister, we
When I was pregnant in jail, I thought I was going to have a baby and the baby would never be with me, but I was acquitted a month and 3 days before Tupac was born. I was real happy because I had a son.
When I was young, me and my mama had beef, 17 years old, kicked out on the street. Though back at the time, I never thought I'd see a face. Ain't a woman alive that could take my mama's place. Suspended from school, scared to go home. I was a fool with the big boys breaking all the rules. Said tears with my baby sister. Over the years, we was poor than other little kids. And even though we had different daddies, the same drama when things went wrong, we blamed mama. I reminisce on the stress I caused. It was hugging on my mama from a jail cell. And who thinking elementary? Hey, I see the penitentiary one day. Running from the police, that's right. Mama catch me, put a whoop into my backside. And even as a queen, mama, you always was a black queen, mama. I finally understand, for a woman it ain't easy trying to raise a man. You always was committed, a poor single mother on welfare. Tell me how you did it, there's no way I can pay you back. But the plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it. Dear mama, you all appreciate it. Now ain't nobody tell us it was fair. No love for my daddy cause the coward wasn't there. He passed away and I didn't cry cause my anger wouldn't let me feel for a stranger. They say I'm wrong and I'm heartless, but all along I was looking for a father, he was gone. I hung around with the thugs, and even though they showed a young brother love, I moved out, started really hanging. I needed money of my own, so I sang it. I ain't guilty, cause even though I said it feels good putting money in your mailbox, I love paying rent when the rent's due. I hope you got the diamond necklace that I sent to you. Cause when I was low, you was there for me. You never left me alone because you cared for me. And I can see you coming home after work late. You're in the kitchen trying to fix us a hot plate. Just working with the scraps you was given. And mama made miracles every Thanksgiving. But now the road got rough, you're alone. Trying to raise two bad kids on your own. And there's no way I can pay you back. But my plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it. And dear mama, you all appreciate it. Some liquor and I reminisce, cause through the drama I can always depend on my mama. And when it seems that I'm hopeless, you say the words that can get me back in focus. When I was sick as a little kid, to keep me happy there's no limit to the things you did. And all my childhood memories are full of all the sweet things you did for me. And even though I act crazy, I gotta thank the Lord that you made me. There are no words that can express how I feel. You never kept a secret, always stayed real. And I appreciate how you raised me and all the extra love that you gave me. I wish I could take the pain away. If you can make it through the night, there's a brighter day. Everything will be alright if you hold on. It's a struggle every day, gotta roll on. And there's no way I can pay you back. But my plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it. Dear mama.